Welcome to Wholehearted Wednesday. My name is David Young, and on today's episode, we'll be sharing an interview that I did with Talia Weir from the Catalyst Mastermind Group. There is quite a bit of background noise going on during the interview, so you'll notice that. She'll be asking me different questions around my spiritual practice and how it's shifted recently, and also how I can sometimes get caught in the victim or achiever mindset and how to shift out of that. Hope you enjoy today's episode.
Well, good morning, Catalyst family. We are bringing you our first interview on our first pillar, spirituality and inner life. And David, who's part of our group, is an amazing resource in this. We were just hanging out over Christmas break and connecting and catching up. And we got to talking about meditation and some of what he's doing. And I was like, we need to talk about this. We need to like hit record and talk about some of this, because I was just super drawn in by it and inspired by it. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Okay.
Just a little bit about you.
Sure. Well, I guess I've been a pastor for 3 years. And before that, in another life, I worked in intelligence analysis. I did martial arts for a long time. I'm a dad, I have 3 children. And right now I work as a coach. And so I speak and I travel around the world. And I run a group called Wholehearted, and I help people live a more wholehearted life. And
Tell us a little bit more about Wholehearted, what that is meant for and what you're trying to create for people.
I see. I guess it's Wholehearted is a community of heart. It's a heart-centered community of people who are wanting to grow personally and do that with other people.
Awesome.
And it's tools to help do that and to not be, I think a lot of personal growth and self-help is about forcing yourself into high performance, and it's about connecting to your heart and seeing what does your heart really want to be, what does it really want to look like. Because I think when we get down to what we're really looking for, not all of us want like ripped abs and a six pack and making X amount of money, but I think we're pressured to go to the max versus yeah, deciding like what do you really want. So I think being amazing or being popular or being fantastic in this area or that area is never going to feel as good as being yourself.
It's more about
discovering yourself and being comfortable in your own skin. And then I think paradoxically growth happens as a result of that.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. And it's an online community.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit how that works.
Oh, so it's online. So people pay $20 a month and I just give them everything. And so I'll go online and people ask different questions and next week I'm going to be talking about indecision and what does indecision mean in the body. And also be talking about resentment and what does resentment mean in the body. Mm-hmm. And people can ask me anything, ask different questions. I do online courses and it's all free if you're a member of the community.
That's awesome.
And so I was looking at how can I offer something for an inexpensive amount and just feel free to create. And that's what it is.
I love it. That is awesome. Beautiful. And you just launched that.
Yeah. We just launched officially in January. So this month is when we officially launched.
6 days ago.
Yeah, 6 days ago. We had our first pre-launch event in November and we're launching now.
So exciting. So cool. What are you loving most about that?
The team, I think. Mm-hmm. I think I really love there's a group of heart-centered people that I get to work with every day. And it feels like I'm just being me. And that's what I get to do in my life.
Yes.
Is express myself. And the more I jump into my soul and jump into my heart, the more wholehearted grows. And it feels like I'm lucky to be able to have a context called career or calling where that's what I do every day is be myself.
It's amazing.
All day.
And you've been stepping in and in and in toward that, kind of narrowing it as we all do.
Yeah. Right? I mean, in 2011, I wanted to be a professor and that's where it started. I knew I wanted to teach and heal.
Huh.
And so it's been an 8-year journey of narrowing and narrowing. I didn't know what coaching was back in when I was in grad school. And so I discovered coaching was a performance coach and it's about make it happen. And as my life has been changing, falling apart, being put back together, then transforming, I've gotten closer and closer to having my external world align with my soul. Mm. And I realized it wasn't about me pushing it. It was actually about what is it that I'm holding on to that I needed to let go of so I could make some space for the universe and God to flow through me in a way that I wanted to. And I think I was scared to be seen and scared to see myself. And as I've been letting go of that fear, it's been easier to actually share. And so I think my work has changed as well.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that journey for you and the unfolding of the that place where you're like, oh, I'm forcing something here versus the flow? How do you start to tune into that and tell the difference?
Mm. I think I was in my head a lot. And so, gosh, I'd be coached. It's like when you're coaching a lot of people and you know what the right things are to say and you know what there is to do. And it's kind of like you're just fixing and solving things. Mm-hmm. And I think the real thing is just in my relationship, in my marriage, in my church community, mm-hmm. in my faith community that I grew up in, and being confronted with my marriage not working as well as I wanted it to. Mm-hmm. And what it would take to be honest with that. And
that was a huge catalyst for you, right? In that getting clear and honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And open with it. That's been a huge
It was just like heartbreaking and heart repairing. And it's like I got the opportunity to be confronted with being someone that I didn't like, because I think for the longest time, all I wanted to do was be a good husband.
Mm-hmm.
And be a good father.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're confronted with maybe I'm not going to be this, maybe I'm not going to look like that, I realized how much I didn't love myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you love yourself as long as you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. And you're never really completely on the right track, so you're always like in this dance of trying to like get there. Mm-hmm. And like there's somewhere you're trying to arrive, which means that where you're at right now isn't okay.
I love that distinction. It's really significant. Keep going on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you're just trying to get somewhere, and it means that where you're at isn't okay. And so I'm trying to make my relationship be somewhere, make my body be somewhere. And what I didn't notice is that I was telling myself if I fell behind, I wouldn't love myself, and I won't love myself until I get to this place.
Wow.
And so
rather than knowing you're gonna be with you and you're gonna love you no matter what's going on, what's happening.
Yeah, because you say I'm gonna love myself no matter what, but actually like no, it's not. Like if your marriage is on the line, or you're like gonna be a bad dad and you're gonna feel like that, like there's some things I'm unwilling to feel.
Mm.
And I think any kind of addiction or compulsion or dis-ease with ourselves is an unwillingness to feel something in our life. And so
it's insightful and true.
Yeah. And so for me, it was just feeling a lot of shame. And when I say feeling, I just didn't like, you don't just wallow in shame. It's a sense of feeling something so that you can love it and let it be there. And loving it doesn't mean like, I totally just accept you and I want you to continue to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like you get to exist.
Huh.
You get to exist and you get to be there. And then it flows naturally. It goes where it's meant to go.
That's a really cool way to say that. Like often you hear it, surrender or acceptance or something, but that just speaking to whatever the thing is in you, like it gets to be there.
Yeah, like a big part of my, I guess my spiritual practice is I like to sit with silence for like an hour or two a day.
Mm-hmm.
And just feelings will come up in my body. So like this morning I was noticing a sense of fear on this side of my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel it and I just mentally say, you get to exist.
Like, I'm just gonna let you be here.
Yeah, you get to exist. And then what will happen is it'll intensify and get more tense. And I'll notice thoughts coming up like, you're gonna be late, or you're not meditating long enough, you're gonna miss your time, or you need to do more of this. And the feeling will get more tense in my body, and then also you get to be there. And then it will start to warm, and then it will relax. And I notice that it actually begins to, it dissipates, and then you just feel loved in that area, and it's like you're releasing things.
Is that the way that it pretty much always happens for you? Like you get to be here, you get to exist.
Yeah.
It intensifies, and you stay with that in it.
Yeah, because usually like it's like your ego, you're saying you get to be here, but your ego does not want anything to be okay. Your ego is always trying to fix things.
Right,
so it's like your soul is wanting to come out and say you get to be here, and then so your soul gets stronger than your ego wants to hold back, so it intensifies the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like it only intensifies because it's leaving you. It's like releasing, it's coming out. And so we freak out because we think that, oh my gosh, something's happening. But you're not the thing that's coming out. It's just leaving your body. It's like Kyle C says, you know, you're not the poop that's coming out. That's what he says.
I love Kyle C's. If you guys don't know Kyle C's, he's an incredible resource. But online, you can find him. But he was a speaker at Summit of Greatness this last year.
Yeah.
Which was my first exposure to him.
Yeah, you got
and I just loved him.
Cool.
Yeah, he's my favorite speaker. I just got so much out of his come from is so much of like when I hear you talk, I'm like, reminds me of how I feel when I listen to Kaya.
Yeah.
Which is just permission to really listen to yourself, to trust yourself, to not do this like forcing thing, which I think our culture really promotes so much.
Well, yeah, people want to force things because we're afraid that if we don't force them, they're not going to be okay. As if there's something wrong with where we're at right now. And so,
how do you balance the like wanting to stretch yourself and push yourself though?
Mm-hmm.
So like we're doing it, this 75 hard challenge, a bunch of us.
Yeah.
You heard of that?
No.
Okay. So it's a, mostly like a mental toughness challenge, but there are physical components. So it's 2 workouts a day and you drink 1 gallon of water and you're eating 10 pages. So just things that challenge you to go beyond where you like normally just feel like going, right? So how do you balance what you're talking about with what do I need? What do I want? Listen to my body, listen to myself with challenging and pushing yourself in your ass to it.
Yeah,
where do you land on that?
I don't push myself to do anything. I think what I do is I inhale and allow myself to expand. So there's a sense of pushing, it's more of a push and expansion so that I allow more space to show up. So if I have like a resistance, so like I'm doing like, I'm in the middle of insanity, like this workout thing that I do. And when I notice myself not wanting to do that, instead of pushing and forcing myself to do it, like how do I like just go for it, just make it happen. What I'll instead do is be with the discomfort of wanting to do that and say, you get to be here. So I expand around it. And then it disappears, and I notice genuine willingness showing up for it.
Interesting. So you just lean into the unwillingness.
Yeah, like it's
rather than no, you will do this.
Yeah, it's like, okay, because like the unwillingness is some kind of inner child that like was forced to do something and never got really loved the way that it meant to. Doesn't mean I'm not going to go ahead and do the workout, but it means that I'm going to take a moment and be grateful that I'm being triggered right now. And actually, how can I expand who I am to be enough to love this? Love what's happening right here in my body.
That's a huge distinction. Rather than being like, no, you are going to do this. We are doing this challenge and you better get up and you're not going to feel good about you unless you do the things.
Right. Because like pushing, most people want to push like this, but for me, I push like that and like open up this way and wrap around it.
It's so fun. We were talking yesterday on the call about pushing versus pulling and the difference between like you're like forcing something from behind or letting the vision of whatever it is like, pull you toward. Other than like you're bad if you don't. Like what is it that I really most want? It's a little bit weird.
Yeah, it can be similar to that. And I think that they can both get, you can get tripped up on both sometimes. So sometimes I don't know if I'm going, running, like heading towards my vision or if I'm just running from my past. And so sometimes like I'm just like, I want to be a high achiever. I want to make this happen. But I'm actually just terrified of being a failure and like being a loser and like none of it working out. And when I say, if I can love myself being a loser just as much as I can love myself as an achiever, all of a sudden I get free from the whole game of it all.
That's so good.
and I can realize, actually, what I want to do right now is just call my dad. And then the result happens by itself, but it's not even, it doesn't even occur in my world as something to achieve or not achieve. Because you're just in the space of creating what your life is going to be about. And so it's like being able to live... you don't live without your ego. You become friends with it and it just stops bothering you. Because it's just, it's only chattering because, hey, I was never loved. Hey, I was never loved. Hey, I was never loved. And then what we do instead is we just don't want to be present to it. And so we just go inside of our heads because you have to go inside your head when you're living out of alignment with your soul or with where your heart is at.
Because you can't keep looking at that.
Yeah, we can't keep feeling it. Yeah, and so if it's hard, if you're unwilling to feel something, we have to go up into our heads. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, how do you make that distinction between people who are just more naturally, like, you know, on the Myers-Briggs, for instance, thinker versus feeler? Like, some people are just more analytical. And do you think that's a personality thing? Or do you think that's like what you're getting at?
Well, I think everybody has a head and everybody has a heart. And when I work with clients who tend to be more analytical, it's more what are you actually... experiencing right now.
So you get them in their body.
Yeah, it's getting them in your body. Because your head actually, it is a part of your body. And so your mind can be brilliant, but it's where does it come from? So sometimes if I'm just like people pleasing or if I'm just trying to get security or control or approval and I'm just using my intellect to do that, it's no different from an intuitive using their ability to connect with other people, to people please, to get approval, security, or control.
It's so interesting, those drivers that we have. Like, what is the core motivation that I'm looking to get filled in, like, so many different ways?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And so I think that people have different personality types, but I don't think you are this personality type. Who you are is here right now and wanting to be stuck and saying, this is who I am, this is what I do. It's more like I've learned, when I do take a personality test, I realize I've learned more about my ego and the traumas that I had, because all personality is just a bunch of different trauma and things that came wrong. And once you get at peace with that, like I love to connect with people, I love to be around people. And I work as a coach, and I'm clear that that part of my personality is developed from wanting to save my parents' marriage growing up as a child, and wanting to people please so they would like me, and wanting to save the world. And that's all because I said there's something wrong with me, there's something wrong with the world, and something wrong with my parents, and so I have to help them do that. And I developed these personality traits and skill sets in order to be able to do that.
To be a fixer and a healer.
And so, like I'm like a recovering fixer and a recovering approval addict. And what I do is I don't try to let force those away or like destroy them. I just love them. And now the tools that I developed because of those traumas now serve me because they're not working to try to fix something that's wrong. And so when I take a personality test, I'll get like ENFJ and I'm clear, I'm an ENFJ and I can see what happened in my life to help me build myself this way to become like that. But it's like every personality trait comes with core fears, core longings. And at the source of it all is that something's wrong.
And do you think that there's innate, like, I was wired this way, I'm made this way, these are my strengths, combined with, these are, like, the experiences I went through, and that's how you end up at whatever.
Well, yeah, I think it's
that. In the Enneagram, you're number 7, or you're number whatever it is.
Right, and we all are wired to do something, but who we are is bigger than what we're wired to do. Mm-hmm. We're the space that can actually hear everything that we're wired to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm like a 2 ENFJ, I tend to be like a D and I on the disc. And so what it looks like is that I get that that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm the space that can fit all of it. Mm-hmm. So again, I don't push myself to be wired this way. I just want to learn more about myself. Yeah. And the reason why I'm learning about it is so I can love it. Mm-hmm. And the more I love it, the less I'm stuck in the pull of it, trying to be like to maximize the empath that I am or to try to decrease the tools that don't work for me. I'm learning new and newer ways to love myself. So there's a relax and a releasing. And then ideas just flow that way versus...
So anytime you start to come up, like this self-judgment comes up or this like running from something or running to something, trying to get approval or trying to get, you just like quiet and go, what is it that's here that needs to be loved right now?
Me? Exactly. What am I afraid of right now? And then that tells me what I get to love. So yesterday I walked in. And sat down. I walked into the living room. My dad's sitting down and he's watching TV. He loves Fox News. We sit down and I want to like not watch TV. And I notice myself not saying anything with my dad. And then like there's an inner approval that's showing up.
Yeah.
And then like a resentment that shows up. And I just breathe with it. It's like, this gets to be here. And then lean into the feeling showing. It's here. This is where it was showing up on my body. And instead of trying to think it through, I feel it through. Because you can't think your way out of a feeling. And so all there is to do is just breathe and finish feeling it and love whatever is coming up and then sit down. And after I felt it through, I was able just to sit down with my dad and just be with him. And then eventually I noticed that I didn't want to be there anymore. And I got to go downstairs and be downstairs and just sit down for a while and have a cup of tea. But I get to do them without anger or like feeling conflicted because I'm feeling everything all the way through.
So things don't get stuck in your body. Like, unresolved feelings.
I think there's like years of like trauma and unfelt feelings that are coming out every day. So my experience of my body is like there's always stuff. Like right now I feel something on my forehead, there's something over here, I'm noticing something in my stomach happening. And around in between all of it is a sense of like buzzing and warmth that I like breathing and allowing myself to be here. And so that's kind of what it's
really
looks like.
Cool. What does your meditation practice look like? I know that's evolved.
Yeah.
We were talking about that a little bit. Tell us about that.
So the first part is just being with my body. And so I'll just body
scan. Get up.
I get up.
Like a morning routine.
Yeah, I'll wake up, drink a glass of water. And then I'll usually work out intensely for like 30 minutes now. Before I would just sit down or do some yoga. And once I'm sitting, I'll do a guided body scan meditation. Whereas just to get out of my head and into my body, and I know that takes between 15 to 30 minutes.
Okay.
And so
even with all your practice.
Yep. Yeah, because you're just, especially if it's been like an intense day and I'm moving around, there's thoughts. There's 15 minutes where I leave my head and going to my body. It's like the breakup, you know, like kind of, and like it's kind of tense and there's like drama and things are happening, but then eventually you're in your body again. Okay. And then now you can start to listen to what's actually happening. And then as you're listening, I'll spend the rest of the time listening and asking what kind of emotion from my past that's a pattern that do I want to let go of, or do I want to love? And so I'll notice like maybe there's shame, or maybe there's fear, or maybe there's pride. And I just notice that emotion, and then in letting it go, I don't say, leave me. I offer it up to God. And I say, the way that this gets to go, I don't know how it's going to leave my body, but I offer it up. And then be loved as someone who's ashamed, to be loved as someone who's afraid.
It's that embracing of is so counterintuitive. Yeah. Usually we see the thing, we're like, oh, I don't like.
Yeah, we're like, oh, I don't want that thing. And that's not how we were raised. Like we were, or that's how we were raised, not how we were born. Mm-hmm. You know, someone told us that that's not okay. Mm-hmm. Like you have, like, there's something in your body that's happening right now that's not okay. Someone told us that now is not okay. Mm-hmm. That it's happening in your body is not okay.
I remember the first time I started recognizing this in myself, I don't know, might have been 12-15 years ago, but I started recognizing that as I was getting a little bit more aware of some of my coping mechanisms, or like ways that I would put things forth to get what I wanted, or felt what I needed, or that I was being really critical of it. But I started realizing that I was using people pleasing as a tool, and I was good at it, and I was actually manipulating situations to get people to like me.
Yeah.
I was like, ah, oh, like I had all this rejection toward myself. And so like in that process of noticing it, there was just a lot of self-judgment.
Right.
And then I remember one morning sitting down with my journal, and I was just praying or writing, and the thought occurred to me, I was being really self-critical, and what if I shifted that away from being critical to maybe there's just a part of you that has been trying to help you get something that you really do need and want. And so there was just that little shift was huge. And I wrote a letter to ego, but the way that I worded it was a letter to my false self.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of to the masks that we wear, to the things that we put forward to get whatever those things are.
Yeah.
And I just wrote this really compassionate, loving letter, like, thank you for all the times you've shown up for me, and you tried to protect me, you tried to keep me safe, you tried to give me the things that I really needed. But it was kind of like a releasing. It was like, I don't need you to be that protector anymore. And it was really a helpful step in this whole process that we're talking about. But turning that criticism to compassion was really, really helpful. It's kind of touches in on what you're saying.
I love you, Tally.
I love you too. I'm really thankful for you.
Yeah.
I learned so much from you. And I just find myself like relaxing in your presence. I think it's because you do this work. Like you take the time to get in that place for you. So it allows other people to come into that.
Really cool. There's a sense of making you sacred. And making me sacred, and making what's happening now sacred. And like the people pleaser that shows up, like making that guy sacred. Like he came in my life probably when I was like 4 or 5 years old, and he saved my ass.
Totally.
You know, and like so didn't know what to do at the time, and like just like be honor him. It's like I have this visualization that I do where you imagine you're like the king or the queen, and you're sitting in your hall, and then there's like knights who are lining down the row, and all of them are the different people pleasers. People who are the self-judgment, the people who showed up in my life, the different egos that I have.
Protectors.
That all the different protectors that came up that are completely dysfunctional now. Like, don't actually work in my adult life. But they came in and, like, each one, like, allow each one to stand up and honor where they were coming from.
That is a really cool visualization.
Yeah, it's really, it's like, life-changing. Like, and then you can actually see, I remember there was one time where it was the, it was like the self-righteous criticizer, like the holier than thou, I'm going to be nice about it and like, you know, not tell anybody. It's like, I'm meditating now already. And just like, you know, noticing how dysfunctional it is and how like what kind of like stress and pain I put other people around, but they can't say anything about it because I'm so holy about it and being so nice. And it's like really like a vice that you put around the people in your life, and just honoring him. Not like and saying like, I know that this is what you were doing. This is what you're attempting to do. These are the results that happened. It was painful at different times, but you are here. I know that you care and you meant to serve. And I actually saw that knight just break down and cry.
Oh.
And it's almost like they're like these veterans that fought in a war for you. And they have some serious PTSD
totally.
From like, And actually, it's almost like you honor the veterans who fought for you. And they're like your, and they are the different aspects of your ego. And they get to release.
That's so powerful. I love that.
It's like a beautiful exercise to do. And I think it just gives us permission to feel. And so when I'm sitting in with silence, a voice will usually come up and like, oh, I'm sad. And then the voice will comment on that sadness. Like, you shouldn't be sad about that. And it's like, okay, so I'm going to listen to that voice. Like, give space for that voice to be there too. Then another one will come in and say, you know, you're getting distracted right now. You should be meditating, not like thinking about this way. Then I'll listen to that one too. And sometimes you can get like 3 or 4 or 5 like voices that come up and they're all talking with each other. And what you do is you just keep expanding. You can actually hear it
all. Let them all be there.
You let them all be there and listen to them all. And then they all, they quiet down and you turn back into your body and back to listening. Because the temptation is to want to become that voice, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when something big comes up, like, gosh, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, this is the deep-seated trauma with my mom. And then you want to analyze it and find out what happens. But, like, you don't need to analyze it. Just let that analyzing voice talk, and you be the one listening to it.
So you don't have to shut anything down. You don't have to, like, silence anybody, anything going on in there.
Right.
You just notice all of it.
Right, because each time you notice, you expand. Because you have the space that you are expands to fit in what just showed up. And then something else shows up, so you expand even more. And then you expand even more, and eventually you can fit your whole world in, and fit your whole existence in what you've expanded into.
And why? Like, why learn to do all this? What does it give you?
Oh, I'm happy.
Yeah, it's, you know, you said something when we were talking last time.
Yeah.
You're like, I never feel lonely anymore.
Yeah.
Like, in the midst of all the separation, everything you're going through, and being away from, like, your family's here in Columbus, you're out west, and you're just like, I just don't feel lonely.
Yeah, there's a sense of...
Talking about that, I think that's a, like, wow, that really says something about this working to me.
Yeah, like, I'm noticing sadness show up on my body and on my face, and, like, a sense of tears, like, there's liquid, and, there's a sense of not feeling alone because there isn't a little. I'm not the little me that's worried about things. I'm like the space that's holding on to him and holding him. Huh. And so I feel held and carried in my life, wherever I'm going, as I just breathe and be in my body. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like sadness or emotions don't show up, but I don't feel lonely. Like, I'm alone. I don't have anything or anyone. I feel like, you know, like, you are me, and then this is me, and we're all here.
Yeah.
And God, I don't want to step over that. Like, you are me, and we're all here. And, like, that's enough. And that I'm here, and that's enough. And when I'm lonely, I have excuses for not wanting to feel what I'm feeling. And I want somebody else to come here and accept me because I can't right now.
Oh, that's so significant.
And I just wish I had someone who would come over and just accept the things that I can't feel so that I can give myself permission to feel those things. And then I won't feel lonely anymore. And so it's like wanting to pass off the responsibility to love myself onto somebody else.
Wow, that's significant. That's really powerful. That's insightful.
And so it's like, not, but you actually can. You can love yourself. You can make space for the love that is you to show up into your body.
So that's a process. Obviously, you've been doing this work for a while. How would you recommend if someone has, like, we all have things that we just are like, I hate that about myself. Mm-hmm. Or like, what the heck with that? How do you begin that turning toward loving that?
Well, I think creating safe space just to sit in silence with yourself is great. I have different guided meditations online that people can check out.
Cool.
Dr. Joe Dispenza also has really great guided meditations, but it's taking time, safe space to love yourself, whether it's just 30 minutes a day or an hour a day. And it's like, sometimes people say, I don't have time to sit in there. Like, I'm doing nothing. I don't have time to do nothing for a while. But it's like you're spending time with your soul.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we'll spend 8 hours a day like doing stuff for somebody else and but not take time with ourselves. So I just recommend 30 minutes a day, just taking time for yourself and connect to different guided meditations. If people want like professional help working through different traumas, I recommend the Hakomi method. I think it's H-O-H-A-K-O.
Is that what we've talked about before?
Yeah, we mentioned it before. So it's a guided way of releasing trauma from the body. But I think you can start right now. Just like sit down and take a breath. And most people will take a breath and like they're like, wow, that was a great 5 minutes. But go for 30. Like give yourself space to heal, and you'll experience like 30 minutes, an hour a day of healing. And like I'll wake up in the morning and I'll be like, I gotta call this person, I gotta make this thing happen, I'm late, and like just, you know, ego's just there. And then I'll sit in silence for like an hour and I'm like, I don't gotta call that person, I don't gotta do that thing, I don't gotta do any of that stuff. And and the ideas of I'm more ready for the opportunities in my life because I'm here. And it's like a, I'm not busy like trying to rearrange the sand in my sandbox, you know, because I think I should, because this needs to be worked out well. I'm just ready. And then when it's time, I just know what I need to do.
So you're a lot more in flow.
Yeah, a lot more in flow. I think Kyle Cease talks about being at the restaurant and you just order. And so it's like most people are like trying to plan out what they're going to order for lunch 2 weeks from now at 2 o'clock, and then what they're going to do for dinner. And they're freaking out about it. Like, but I got to get this done. I have to eat every single day, you know, and I got to order this thing. It's like, no, we're at the park right now. And when you get to the restaurant, then it'll be time to order, and then you'll know what you want. They'll probably give you a menu, and maybe they'll make it extra easy. They'll be like, we have soup, we have salads. They will be like, and it, life kind of feels like that. And so the more time you take for yourself, actually, the more decisions you get to make. Otherwise, you're like at 15% while you're operating, you know, 15, maybe 5%, 30% of who you are, really. And so what we'll do is like the anxiety comes with being at 15%. And so you want to just push it and push it and push it. And so you'll like drive yourself an extra 3 hours, an extra half an hour there. But like 3 hours at 15% is like 10 minutes at 100. And you can get more done in 10 minutes at 100% than you would at 15. Because you'll be doing the right thing with the right person in the right state at the right time. And
so significant. Yeah. Yeah. I find that when I'm centered and I'm aligned, so much just flows and connections happen and people are like, it's almost like magnetically attracted to. And when I'm not, and I'm like doing all these things, it's like I have to work so much harder.
Yeah.
Like I do. I have to work so much harder to get not even the same result as just being like in this state of flow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, oh, we just have this idea. We've collapsed struggle with working hard. And that you're not working hard unless you're struggling.
So true.
But what it really means, like, you're not working hard unless you're out of alignment with your soul. Like, you have to like feel the resistance in your body and then push it anyway. And that's how you should tell that you're working. That's how you know that you're working hard.
It's so true. Yeah. We have all these external indicators that say, oh, that's what it's supposed to look like and feel like.
Yeah. Basically, we like, it's like this drug. Everyone believes that you should not feel like you love yourself. And when you do that, that's when you can give yourself approval, which isn't love anyway.
Say more about that.
Once you feel like you are acting out of alignment with who you are, and then pushing yourself anyway, and there's a sense of like grit, and it hurts, and I don't like it, and I know that I'm not listening to my body, and there's something that's not working here, but I'm just gonna push it and push it and push it, then I can receive approval of other people who are doing the same thing, and I can approve of myself.
It's such a terrible cycle. Oh man.
And so, and then you have to like have different coping mechanisms or different addictions, so you can distract yourself from feeling all the things that you're feeling. And then begin to justify the things that you're doing. Like whenever you have to justify something, it probably means there's something about it that's out of alignment with who you are. Yeah. The things that you don't justify in your life, the things that are totally aligned with your heart, you never have to justify. Like I never have to justify the work that I'm doing. I never have to, or what's even simpler, I never have to justify my daughter. You know, I'm never like, she gets great healthcare, you know, or like anything like that.
She's good to have around because
yeah, but it's like, no, she, why would I I don't need to do that. But when I'm trying to justify a reason for myself doing something, it's like I'm doing it either for approval or for security or for control, and it's not totally, there's something about it that I'm unwilling to feel. And I noticed that a lot with my parents too, like, oh yeah, there's a reason, like my dad's okay, you know, he's just, he does this and this and this and this and this and this, and you know, but I've really learned how to just love and accept him. And it's like, no, there's something you haven't felt, like, you know, about your dad that's really there for you. And me being like, actually, no, I'm really, really upset about this thing. And underneath the upset is actually I'm sad about something. And underneath the sadness is there's a sense of loss, that I've lost the dad that I thought he was. And I'm basically, there's something about my dad that I haven't made okay yet.
So you're really looking to just get yourself into a place where you're like, okay.
Yeah, it's like
whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like, what have I not made okay? And look at that, like, oh, I'm upset. I haven't made that okay.
So if you go down to the root, usually that's it. At something with yourself, with the world, with somebody in your life. yeah, God, he's just, whatever.
I'm not here, and I'm not here, and then once I get here, I don't love what's here. So then once I'm here and I love what's here, everything's like okay, because life becomes perfect. Like whatever's happening here right now is exactly perfect for whatever is meant for you, meant for to happen right now. And life actually becomes perfect. Like I'm sick, my body's not feeling right now, and this is exactly what I'm supposed to be experiencing because I'm experiencing it. You know, if it wasn't happening, then it wouldn't be supposed to happen. But it's just happening, so this is supposed to happen. It's like the, you know, it's already happening. So if it's happening, it's supposed to happen.
You think that's true all the time?
Yeah.
So even like somebody in your family gets murdered, this is supposed to happen because it did happen? Or is there ever just a, like, evil imposes itself because we are living in a broken world, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Evil is this idea of...
He's like, here we go.
Evil is not wanting to be here and then trying to take people out of being here. It's the idea that of shame about being here, and so I have to leave being here.
Hmm. Say more.
Shame is the idea that there's something that isn't supposed to happen.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then creating and living and being from that place. And so it's not like a... But then trying to pretend that it's not doing that at all.
Say more about that, pretending like it's not doing that.
So, I think that I should love people, but I don't love myself. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to pretend that that's not happening at all, and I'm going to be like, I'm a good person with you, mm-hmm. you know? Or I'm going to flip it and say, I'm just going to be mean to people because that's just the way the world is. But either way, I'm not here, and I'm still ashamed of what's going on in my body. And it's like people talk about, I mean, if you want to use like biblical examples, during the fall, Adam and Eve turned away from God. And there's a sense of shame, meaning I don't feel, I cannot bring myself.
Unworthiness.
Yeah, like I'm unworthy. And I think what there is for people is to bring yourself to God or universe or source or to yourself, saying that this is what's happening. And then share that, like let, being wholehearted is about all of your life being there, your whole life being there and loving it. And people have this idea that, but if I love it, then it's not going to go the way that it should go. But that's not even you talking. That's your ego saying it's not going to go the way that it should go, because the ego creates problems so that it can solve them and overcome them.
So we often just find ourselves in resistance to a whole bunch of things rather than, like, you're suggesting that the quicker path to whatever is just love whatever it is.
Well, it's like life is already happening, and the idea is to stop resisting life. Mm-hmm. And people say, well, what about, like, there's evil in the world? Yeah, evil is the resistance to life. Mm-hmm. And we're all taking part in it by resisting life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you think evil goes away if you get in acceptance?
I think you get big enough, you become bigger than the evil that's there, and it can't live inside of love.
Interesting.
It's like
when
getting
very deep here.
Yeah. So when I start to accept the shame, like, so for that, I think shame is at the root of a lot of evil. Mm-hmm. And when I get big enough to love the shame that's there, it disappears.
Mm.
It can't actually exist being accepted.
Interesting. Yeah. And you would suggest the same things about sickness or anything else?
What do you mean?
You just get bigger than, like, if you're dealing with some chronic something in your body and you're doing all these things to heal it.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is great, you're being healthy, you're doing things,
mm-hmm.
but you're saying another way to combat that is just to really accept whatever that thing is that's like dis-ease in your body, whether it's pain or sickness or whatever it is, and just create space of love for that and accept it rather than resist it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like, you know, quit like taking care of your body, but a sense of where's the come from? When you're taking care of yourself, I'm taking all these things. I'm exercising. I'm doing all these things because I hate my body. You know, because I'm saying the way that my body is right now isn't the way I want it to be. So that means how I am right now is wrong. Versus, I love my body and I'm going to take care of it. I think the best way to think of it is like the way we take care of children. It's like we force and beat our children until they become the way that we want them to become, versus you're loved right here, right now, and that's what actually allows children to grow and be who they are. And so that's how we treat like sickness. It's like, sure, you just scraped your knee and punched your best friend and like you set our house on fire. You know, and you're eight. And so the first thing is like getting responsible for like, this is what happened. It's not like you didn't do all this,
right.
You know? And it's not like there isn't an impact on all of it. And I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
and your best like, friend and set the house on fire.
Yeah. And it's like, and I love you. And like, what gets to happen now? Like what's next? What gets to happen? I think we're so like fear and shame is our fuel of choice. And so we're just terrified that if I don't have fear or shame in my life, how am I going to get anything
done?
Yeah. And it's like crazy. Like, what do you mean? If I don't have fear or shame in my life, how am I going to get anything done? Like, well, I don't know. You won't have any fear or shame in your life.
And that's so often what we go to drive us toward what we think we need to do or even want to do.
Yeah, because there's a sense that right here, there's something wrong. And I found the opposite, that like when fear and shame disappear, all I want to do is play. You know, and there's like just energy to just create and create and create. So like I sat in an airplane, was just feeling fun. I just started writing a book and just spat out 60 pages. Or I'll get an idea for a seminar and just write profusely. Or I'll just be in my state of creation and I'll actually exert myself more, but I don't feel exhausted because it's so exciting.
It's so great.
And it's like so the kids don't get to the sandbox and feel like something's wrong here. We got to make it. That's what's motivating us to make this castle. Kids get here and they're like, what do you want to do? And I feel like people want to get to this place of like life after death, but it's about life before death and about getting to this place where, gosh, there's an amazing quote by Werner Erhard. And he says, after you said all the negative things, the I hate yous, the disempowering things, and even after you said all the nice things, like you're a great person, I affirm you, I approve of you, the thing that you're really withholding from everybody and yourself is that I love you. And I think for me, my spiritual life is about starting from I love you. And then once you start there, it's like, what do you want to do next? You know, because like now everything's okay. And it's kind of like, wow, we don't have to do anything. And I think what people get surprised by is that something starts to show up for you to do that doesn't come from an I need to do anything. And it's exactly the most wonderful, amazing, on point, high performing, addresses the right thing at the right time, insightful thing to do at that moment.
That's awesome. I love it. So you're just enjoying learning how to live in this state more and more and more of the time.
Yeah, I'm like learning to relish the new trauma or the new approval addict that shows up in me. And I'm more interested in what I get to let go of than what is it than the things that I want. So I learn what I want too, but I learn to not want the things that I want, I guess. Which is hard, I think, for me too.
Can you say more about that?
I mean, I used to like be obsessed with what I wanted in relationship. And what I got to do is like, it was either I was obsessed about what I wanted in relationship or I'm lonely. And
interesting, yeah.
And both of them got to be given up. You know, like, I got to love the person who was really lonely, but I also got to love the person who was like striving and like gonna make that awesome relationship. And then what showed up afterwards is I don't need to work on relationship. I just get to work on myself and then show up with people. And there's a sense of now I know that the relationship that fits me best will gets to show up in my life as I'm being myself because I'm not looking for it.
Not trying to make something specific happen.
Right. It's like it's like our the things that we're chasing after and striving for, it's hard to give those up. The things that we're ashamed of and afraid of, it's hard to love them. But it's the same emotional experience when you do that. It's release.
And how do you make a distinction between letting what you feel most truly called to, made for, what's really in your heart, letting that come up and steering your life toward those things versus the striving piece?
It's the same thing with like a fear or shame. I just let it be there. Like, you get to be there. I get to love you. And then it releases. And it's almost like I get in the mode of receiving what I want versus trying to get it. And so, you know, it's like I let the universe know. The universe knows this is the kind of relationship that I'm looking for. The universe knows this is the kind of abundance that I'm that aligns with me. And since I've given it up, I don't have to strive to go get it. They can come. They come and find me.
And how do you stay in that state and create any kind of intentionality in your life, or do you?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are things that I know you do, but it can fall into that like striving place.
Right. It's like I wish I had like a quarter or something. But it's like if you had a cup or something. So let's say this is my cup. Mm-hmm. In your hands. Yeah, I'll try it with this. So it's like you can do this at home with a quarter or something. And letting go or accepting something, it's like if this is your intention, or what your heart really wants, your heart already wants it. You don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. What most people do is like they're like squeezing on the thing that they want so badly that they can't even receive it. And what they're actually saying by squeezing it is they're saying that I don't have this.
Got it.
I'm coming from lack. So then what you end up getting is you don't actually get the thing you're squeezing, you get the lack of it because you're attracting the lack.
Because that's what you're focused on.
Yeah, you're focusing on I don't have this, and that's what's fueling me to strive is the fact that I don't have this. And so it's like what's really going on is there's an ego coming that's in lack that's saying I don't have this, and it's tricking me thinking that I'm actually going towards it, but what it's really doing is trying to stay alive. And so it's going to keep on creating situations of lack so that it can overcome them. And so like the ego creates problems just to overcome them.
I see that all the time.
It's like, oh my gosh, I was really going through this difficult financial time, but I broke through, and then this happened, and then the money goes away. And then like, and then I had to learn this again and how to break through, and then it goes away again. But we don't notice that we're squeezing so hard on it. And then what's been working for me is letting it go. It doesn't fall. It's not going to go anywhere. Like, you know, the universe or God still knows that this is what aligns with my heart. But since I'm not trying to get it anymore,
grasp it
and squeeze onto it anymore, now the universe can be like, now I can give it to you. But when you want it, you're telling the universe you're not ready for it.
Interesting. That's insightful. So you can still have intentionality, still be pointed and moving toward things that you're creating in your life, but from a place of abundance, not from a place of fear and lack.
Right.
Got it. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. And so I can ask them like, what do you really want? And they can say, and usually what will come up is something rooted in fear first. You know, like I was always treated this way as a child and people always mess with me. And so I just don't want to be treated that anymore. I want to love my body and feel confident. And okay, got it. So what if you loved the part of you that was treated badly as a child? And what if you could let go of the person who wants to be confident? And usually what will happen is like tears will show up. And I'll say, so what is it that comes up afterwards? And say, I feel okay. And then paradoxically, now when they go to the gym, like they just like the weight kind of just leaves their body, you know, right. And they meet the right nutritionist, and it's a whole joy getting there, versus like I hate myself and that's what I'm trying to get there. And so
it's the striving, it's the lack, it's the
It's like resisting. Like this like contracting that's not allowing us to receive things. It's like it's the most insulting thing to tell the universe this is the thing that I need, you know. Or like insulting thing to God or whatever it is, because that's exactly what the universe wants to give you. You know, if you believe in like a loving God, then the thing that first of all, universe knows you better and knows exactly what you want and also loves you. So wants to bless you with exactly the thing that you want. But then we insult the universe by saying, I don't trust you to deliver on what I want. And so I'm going to have to push myself to make it happen because I don't think you're actually going to love me and pull through. And so I think for my life, what was really there is I don't trust you, God or universe. And so that's why I have to make this phone call right now, because if I don't do this, and if I'm late, then it's not going to happen. And even though my body's saying like, why don't you just wait and breathe for a second, I think there's something for you to get right here. And I was like, well, yeah, that'd be great if you would have me have to get this thing after the meeting and not like before, because I need to make this thing happen. And what's shown up for me is just like letting that go and being open to what actually happens. And like, yeah, I think it's just fundamentally, we really don't believe that love is real. And that unconditional love is real.
Unconditional love is real, yeah.
So we just have a lot of conditions to be loved and love ourselves.
So powerful. Thank you so much
for
the
time.
So. Thank you for the journey that you're on and for sharing it with us. Being part of Wholehearted. Love you guys.
Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed this. Bye.